This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Please welcome
Rich Eisen.
0-4 Bears, go figure that.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What the hell is happening in Chicago? And if Justin Fields wants to stay in Chicago, he better keep winning. Because Caleb Williams is coming.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Coming up, comedian Lewis Black. NFL Network analyst Gerald McCoy. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We had a great chat with Matt LaFleur of the Green Bay Packers in hour number one. And hour three, Gerald McCoy, my new colleague from the NFL Network, NFL Game Day Morning, will be joining us in studio. I have a feeling he will be very happy to discuss the 3-1 on a bye week, Baker Mayfield flag planting Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who he's been choosing every single week. He's gotten three of them right. You know?
Who the fuck is?
Yeah. And couldn't be more excited. Coming up in about 20 minutes' time, the comedian Lewis Black is here. One of my favorite segments in the history of The Daily Show is when he would show up, go direct to camera, and then just lay it out there. Really outstanding. So I can't wait to chat with him on this program. And then you sit back and make some phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here as soon as this show is over. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask will sit down on our podcast set just to the left here of the Rich Eisen Show studio and record the latest episode of What the Football. Kurt Warner, Pro Football Hall of Famer, who will be calling the Jags-Bills game with me in London this coming weekend, will be Susie and Amy's guest. I have a feeling he will have lots to say about the game that he called last night between the Giants and the Seahawks. And then, of course, the game that took place the night before, Zach Wilson and the Jets damn near beating the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's lots to talk about with Kurt Warner. And then, of course, where all podcasts are acquired is where you can get the latest episode of What the Football. And the same thing with Overreaction Monday. Chris Brockman was on a heater on yesterday's podcast version of Overreaction Monday. The first one of you saying the Jets would be 4-0 if Aaron Rodgers was healthy. Kind of, you had me staggered.
It was like first round Mike Tyson, like boom. Boom.
I know. I felt like Leon Spinks.
How goes Frazier?
So you threw one to start.
I went for it hot.
And then the last one you finished is you said Baker Mayfield is the best offseason acquisition
at quarterback
this year.
Yeah.
And my response is something that you need to stay tuned for all of that. That's an Overreaction Monday, our podcast version. Where all podcasts are acquired.
Did you curse when you replied to that?
I did not. We're trying to keep it clean for the kids.
Gotcha.
We have been clean, actually, so far.
Why would you say that higher register?
Well, you and I have been known to curse from time to time.
It's not our brand. No. It just isn't our brand.
We should start drinking during the...
That's what Susie is going to be doing with Amy Trask later, I believe. Let's go to Josh in Olympia, Washington. You are on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Rich, how are you doing today?
What's going on?
Not much. I want to say hi to the guys. Not a lot of callers do that. I want to say hi to all of them. I see how they're doing.
Hey, what's up, Josh? Man,
how you doing? Great. Josh, don't feed the animals.
Why not?
that's ridiculous. I'm an animal too. It's all good, man.
Yeah, buddy. Josh is one of us.
I also like to say I used to be a sprinter back in high school, so I like to say that your sprinting is actually pretty darn good style-wise.
It's now two in a row. You and Raheem Mostert, you're peas in a pod, man. It's two in a row now. I'm on a roll. It's great.
Oh, yeah. But as a Seahawks fan here, you know, watching last night's game was pretty awesome to watch, except for, you know, that quarter where it seemed like every single player on the offense was, you know, having yellow flags as well about. But I would also like to say I don't think there's going to be a lot of Seahawks fans now complaining about not taking Jalen Carter in that first round after Witherspoon's play last night.
Yeah, and again, that's why everybody's got to just, you know, take a breath. Whether somebody's good or not in the draft, because things can change fast. And thanks for the call, Josh. And in John Schneider, you should trust.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if you had to name a general manager in the NFL that was expert at choosing players for the style of play that they put out on the field for their coach, Pete Carroll, it's John Schneider and the Seahawks. Do they know how to draft for what they want to do? And what's kind of amazing is I remember a Thursday night in Seattle, I think it was 2011, because I think it was the Dream Team Eagles and Andy Reid coming west. Let's see. And they kind of started talking about not putting East Coast teams on the road in West Coast time zone spots on a Thursday night. It's kind of a significant disadvantage.
Man,
to do
Rich,
that.
Your memory is amazing. That is week 13, yes. 2011.
I believe it was. And we had a tough time figuring out who's the star of the game. We want to come to the set. We asked for Marshawn Lynch. He said no. And after that, we're just like, okay, we'll take the coach. Because we couldn't figure it out. This is pre-Russell Wilson. And we're like, I do believe I asked Pete Carroll, what's the identity of this team? Because we didn't know. They were still forming it. And I forget what his answer was, probably because we were being pelted by Skittles the entire interview.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch had a buck 48, two tutties.
We wanted him, and he said no.
Tavares Jackson, the quarterback for Seattle.
Again, rest in peace, pre-Russ, rest in peace. We were wondering, what's the identity? Is it on defense? What's your identity? Now you know what their identity is. Their identity is...
Always compete.
Always compete. When Pete Carroll last night was asked by, by everyone after the game about, Jamal Adams, and he's asked all the time about injuries. And then certainly when Lisa Salter spoke to him during the game last night about Jamal Adams as well. And he's just like, yeah, feel bad for him, but, next man up. Like, we're ready to go. And then Geno Smith goes down. He goes up to Drew Locke and taps him on the chest. And you hear Aikman and Buck say, we spoke to him about Drew Locke during, our pre-broadcast meetings. And he's like, he's ready to go. He's always ready to go. They have full confidence in him. Because Pete's always about the always compete. Next man up. The guy second, third on the depth chart is ready to go because it's your opportunity. No panic, no nothing.
Yep.
No, like the season's lost. Everything's over. That's why they lose their two tackles. And then suddenly they win three in a row. And then their identity is lowering the boom on defense, a.k.a. Legion of Boom. And, man, do they have this kid in Devin Witherspoon. Everybody was talking about him at the draft as the best defensive player in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Got to go get him. And fifth overall, Jalen Carter was on the board. It would have been interesting if Anthony Richardson was sitting out there, but he wasn't. And the guy whose numbers, are the mirror opposite of the 12s, he is going to be a popular dude in the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. He can close. He lays the wood. He jumps routes. We saw it all last night. Yeah. And they were just scratching the surface.
He was in his bag last night.
And again, so the first 3 weeks, he was hurt. He was banged up. Then he gets out. He's learning his way. And then Monday night, lights go on. Oh, my goodness. See ya. House call, whole business. And then on offense... Obviously, you hit people in the mouth. Walker and Charbonnet are a pretty damn good 1-2 young punch. And then you want to talk about physical wide receivers. Our friend who eats tons of candy, DK Metcalf, another touchdown. Tyler Lockett's gonna do his thing. Kind of wild that Jackson Smith and Jigba has really done very little so
not
far.
Much. Yeah, not much.
And he is supremely talented.
Yep. Just think they still have that weapon they haven't utilized yet.
They haven't even scratched the surface there.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a Witherspoon moment coming.
Oh, most def.
So, and then they got a bunch of tight ends that you don't draft in fantasy because you have no idea which one's going to have a night. And then Noah Fant tiptoes down the sideline. Tip-toe. Another guy locked to Fant
from the
and Witherspoon.
Yeah.
That's two touchdowns last night from the Russell Wilson trade.
Oh, yeah.
He just looked like he was going to run out of bounds on that play, too.
Right.
It was just like, Gino dumped it. He's going out of bounds. Wait, I'm going to keep running, and now I'm scoring.
Lock to Fant, two players they got in the Russell Wilson trade, and then the final first overall, first round draft choice they get from Russ. Boom. Witherspoon. So, in John Schneider, you trust, man. And Pete. Man, he's got a Hall of Fame resume. There's just no other way to put it. He wins another one, that's a wrap. That is a wrap. Everybody thought, you know, he's just escaping USC, getting out of there before things got hot.
Well, he did do that.
Okay, and then he gets there. Well, I mean, that's what they thought. He's just going to the pros just to do it.
Right.
And now he's the most tenured coach in the NFC. And you know, because Sean Payton's gone.
He's got to be the third longest, right, behind Belichick Bill and Tomlin?
Tomlin and Bill, right. I think he's Reed has not been in Kansas
20,
City as
2013.
Long.
This is year 10 or 11 for Andy. Yeah. So.
Look at the rest of the conference. He is the dean of the NFC. Who'd have thunk it?
Wow.
And then let's see what Seattle can do from here on out. Their next game, they're on a bye. They're at Cincinnati. Look out, Joe Burrow. I mean, come on. He better start getting around. And then they got home games against Arizona, Cleveland, at Baltimore. How fun is that going to be? Home for Washington, their second game against the Rams. They had to win that one last night. Otherwise, they'd have been in third place because the Rams had the same record at 2-2 had they lost. And they've already beaten them. And then the three-week stretch that starts Thanksgiving night that I cannot wait for. Home for San Francisco on Thanksgiving night before visiting Dallas the Thursday after, a full week of rest for Amazon Prime's Week 13 kickoff Prime Video right here on Roku, and then at San Francisco, and then home for Philadelphia. That's the four-week stretch.
Wow.
That's where rubber will meet the road here for the Seahawks in 2023. So, there's that. On the flip side, I do this every year after 4 weeks. Did it last year, and I saw it was very popular, and as you know, we do things here not just for clicks, but for winning. We do them both. Unfortunately, these teams have not won enough.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
That's right.
Duh, winning.
Mike, paying attention.
It's amazing. When he pays attention, how much better this show
so
is.
So much better.
It's great. And I'm so glad that my content is capturing your attention.
Thank you, Mike. Rich.
Oh, thank you. That's basically what I was just saying.
Well,
top five most disappointing starts of 2023. Hit it, please.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
Well, number five on this list has got to be a team that made the playoffs last year, won their division last year, and with Aaron Rodgers gone, there were still a bunch of people saying, okay, we saw what you did with your running back. And we're still wondering if you are winning this division or not, but a lot of people still thought they could. And their only win at present is against the winless Carolina Panthers. The fifth most disappointing start of 2023 belongs to the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, who would have thought, obviously, what happened with Aaron Rodgers and his Achilles, in my mind, takes the Jets right off this list. If the Jets were 1-3 with Rodgers being healthy, they'd probably be on this list in a significant way. But the reason why I bring up Rodgers here, the fact that Cousins has trade rumors around him before October hits. And Justin Jefferson had to basically say, hey, all this trade talk, pipe down. Pipe down. We're not giving up on this season, but they're 1-3. They shouldn't be. And that puts them on this list of disappointing teams. Number four on this list is a team that was staring 0-4 right in the face. They gave up 70 points in Miami and then 28 to the Bears. And thanks because the Bears are higher up on this list. Spoiler alert. The Denver Broncos are the fourth most disappointing team with their start of 2023. I mean, Sean Payton was not supposed to stare 0-4 right in the face. Cortland Sutton's turning the ball over way too much. Judy got banged up. The defense is just it's one thing to give up 70 in a game. Obviously, the Dolphins have the ability to do it. But the Bears, they've got a quarterback who says, I'm a robot, and everyone is wondering what's going on, and they get curb stomped playing the captain stooping to the lovebirds, the celebrity lovebirds, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, and the Bears put up 28 on them. Russ looks better at least, but the rest of it, I mean, the running game is non-existent. Javonte Williams can't do a lick. He got hurt in last week's game, too. The Denver Broncos are fourth on this list. The third most disappointing start of 2023 belongs to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, you might be sitting here saying, Rich, why do you keep, you know, Rodgers and the 1-3 Jets off this list, but you put the 1-3 Bengals on this list? Because Burrow's made every start. That's why. Burrow's been in every game. That's why. And Burrow, you know, doesn't look himself. He is definitely banged up, but the defense looks like a shadow of themselves. An AFC championship game team from 2 years in a row, laying the wood and being physical on that side of the ball, looked like they wanted no piece of Derrick Henry. And this is the type of game where they bow up and they show Derrick Henry who's tougher. That was really disappointing. I'm like, talk about the loss that happened in week four to make them 1-3. This is supposed to be, all right, we beat the Rams despite Joe Burrow limping around like Fred G. Sanford. You know, now we're going to come back and we're going to win this one in Tennessee that just lost 27-3 to Cleveland. And we're going to get beat like that? I'm very concerned about these Bengals. Number two on this list of most disappointing starts of 2023. It's fresh in my mind. It's written down because it happened last night. 248 yards of offense, 6 of 16 on third downs, a pick six, a forced fumble, 11 sacks, 2 turnovers on downs, 12 penalties. Your New York football Giants, who have lost their first two home games by a combined score of 64-3, and both of them under the lights of NBC and ESPN. And you want to throw the Manning cast into ESPN, too. And they looked like they were going to go to 0-2. Arizona had them dead to rights. Daniel Jones, thankfully for he and Saquon Barkley, they put it together. Barkley gets hurt. They get smoked in San Francisco. And what happened last night is an absolute total, as they would say on New York Sports Talk Radio, embarrassment. I don't know what's happened. This team won a playoff game last year. Forget about looking like a playoff team. This is a playoff winning team from last year. And they're 1-3. And you take a second half in Arizona out, which obviously you don't, and you're talking about a winless team. And number one on this list, I mean, and this is the fact that they are clear number one after the Giants are number two on this list and everybody else that's on this list. The Chicago Bears were not supposed to be 0-4. The Chicago Bears were supposed to have kept Justin Fields and added DJ Moore and gotten all these picks from Carolina and made the moves that they've made in the offseason and taken this kid from last year, was running all over the place and making plays and being dynamic. And by week 2.5 before week 3, he's saying, I'm playing robotic. And the reason why is coaching. And I know he would counterwrite that by saying that's out of context, but that's absolutely what he was saying. Is that the coaches are trying to teach him and tell him what he should be doing, where he should be looking, what he should be doing in terms of the scheme and the defense, pre-snap, post-snap, and he's saying, this is not allowing me to play free, or I'm not comfortable playing this way. And that is not supposed to have happened based off of last year after just two games. And unfortunately for them, they played the Chiefs, and Taylor Swift shows up. And all sorts of holy heck breaks loose. And then what they did against Denver, blowing the game, and then Matt Eberflus deciding to go for it on fourth down instead of a 35-yard field goal with 3 minutes to go, and then calling timeout, coming out again, and going for it again, and the play call was dreadful, and then you give up a 47-yarder, and then you give up a field goal. Instead of being up by three, you're down by three, and Justin Fields throws a pick, you're 0-4. Easily, the Chicago Bears, the most disappointing team starting 2023.
You think we need one more? All right.
And I'll just do it for auld lang syne, folks. I didn't think the Raiders would be 1-3. Did you? And I know I could go with 0-4 Carolina, but they chose a kid first overall who is disappointing. I mean, Bryce Young's start is disappointing, certainly when you have it in comparison to C.J. Stroud and when Anthony Richardson stays healthy for a full game. But Devontae Adams is rightfully frustrated. Jimmy Garoppolo, when the Raiders went and got him folks were definitely saying, why do that? He hasn't played a full season since 2019, and he got his bell rung at the end of a loss to the Steelers and could not answer the bell last week in Los Angeles. There are people all over my Twitter feed, X feed, whatever, because I am on Raiders Nation Radio in Vegas, and I do talk about the Raiders a lot. Amy Trask is on What the Football with Susie. We do talk a lot of Raiders football here. I chose the Raiders over the Chiefs last year. I pissed off an entire kingdom by doing that. So I do get a lot of Raider fans telling me their problems, like I'm Dr. Melfi, and I see it. They want McDaniels fired by now. That the Patriot way ain't happening. And here we are again with them. 1-3. And Green Bay coming to town. And this is a Green Bay team that can make a long night for Vegas again. And they haven't even played the Chiefs yet. Those are my most disappointing teams and starts of 2023. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I just wanted to get myself rolling before Lewis Black sits out here on this set. I cannot wait to meet this man. I am a big fan. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell us about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's so fun and so easy. You know I love this stuff. You pick two or more players based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks, boom, you're part of the action. And they have weekly promotions that can lead to big prizes. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. I'm more invested in the outcome and I get real-time updates. Like this weekend, you know, if I'm thinking about a certain Indianapolis quarterback going over his rushing yards, or maybe a Pittsburgh receiver getting more than his allotted catches, there I am, boom. I love it. I love Prize Picks. You should too.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions, and join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code PIGSKIN. That's code PIGSKIN at prizepicks.com/pigskin. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows. You know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel, our radio audience will rejoin us in a matter of moments. Lewis Black, Tragically I Need You, streaming right now on YouTube, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What a pleasure to have you on here. How are you, sir?
Oh, every day just gets more joyous, doesn't it? especially if you're a Commanders fan. It's actually...
Are you that? You are that? You're because you're from Maryland, right?
You're from Maryland. D.C. Okay. And then they took, in Baltimore, the Colts were taken away under the cover of night.
That's right.
Indianapolis should lose their statehood.
Just because of that alone?
Like, absolutely. In the cover of night. But no, the command actually was kind of an exciting game.
This past weekend in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that was actually, and I'm watching it on my phone, which means there's no, that it's that Gamecast where it's just the little dots moving over.
Yes.
And it's like, no.
You're following. So, Lewis Black, you are following Commanders versus Eagles with the dots on your phone.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, that's
diehard. That's diehard material.
Yeah, no, it's, and Dan Snyder's gone. So, it really doesn't matter what our record is. It doesn't matter.
You've already won.
Yeah, Mussolini left.
The Mussolini of sports owners.
Really?
Dan Snyder.
And the trains didn't run on time, son of a bitch. Excuse me. I went over the line.
No. The radio audience is almost back.
Oh, yeah.
So you got like one last.
Out.
We got 30 seconds of journalism on. They don't mind if you say, but then the radio audience returns, and then we got
I understand. No, and usually I'm really very good.
Okay, fantastic. But Dan Snyder will cause people to curse. I've been around people.
It causes my brain. Parts of my brain's going to flame.
Louis Black, here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm so excited about this. I've just loved your work for so many years. Obviously, The Daily Show being front and center on all of that. The comedy special called Tragically, I Need You, streaming right now on YouTube, back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm on the Rich Eisen Show desk on the stream on Roku channel. Furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Once again, I'm introducing, as we just did on the Roku channel, Louis Black, streaming right now on YouTube. Tragically, I Need You. Tragically, I Need You. Why so tragically? Why is it tragically, Louis?
Because it's, you don't really want to tell people, you know, but because there's a setup that comes before.
Oh, okay.
That sets up. That.
Okay, yeah. So I don't want to give it away. Did I just give away the milk for free, Louis? Did I just do that?
No.
Okay.
They won't. You know what's great about the audience? They won't remember. Nobody's got a memory anymore. It's spectacular. If you really think after watching the show, there'll be two people who might turn that thing on, but some will turn it on
Louis,
like a week.
You have
later.
No idea. No. You have no idea. You're on a rocket ship right now.
Oh, that's
you have no idea.
That's tremendous. You're gonna,
at least I like saying that to people. If at least hopefully you believe it. So you're from Maryland. You're from the
Silver Spring, Maryland.
Silver Spring, Maryland.
Yeah.
So that makes you a Commanders fan.
Yes.
Orioles or no?
Orioles.
You are.
Absolutely. This is like heaven. This what's happened this year. Heaven.
Heaven being
the Orioles. You know, winning the pennant. Are you kidding me? This is way ahead of
with 100 wins.
Yeah.
Being the one seed in a playoff that they get the first week off in. And then the one win that you were talking about on our Roku channel feed, I'd love for you to repeat for the radio audience. The one win the Commanders had in August.
Which,
the removal of...
Oh, yeah, the Dan Snyder.
Snyder, that's the ultimate win.
Oh, yeah, I forget that there are other victories sometimes. What victory? Did we get a victory and I missed it?
It's a preseason victory unlike any other.
It's literally, in the history of sports, I rarely remember any moment when a city as one rose together and just screamed, hallelujah. Hallelujah, free at last. I mean, it was unbelievable.
He's gone. Like the Wicked Witch. Yeah. I know, and I would get people coming up to me for years saying, is it possible that he can leave? And I'm like, I'll have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, no, he's unbelievable.
And gone. See you later. But did you go to the old RFK? Did you go to those games?
Yeah,
I went to
a few of those. And then, you know, it was really, RFK was wild. It was fun. It was different. It was great.
I went to a couple games in RFK, and I remember sitting in the second deck, the top deck.
Right, yeah, okay, that's where I was.
And it was right over the end zone. And whenever there was a play in the back of the end zone, I had to get up and lean over to see what was going on underneath the edge of the second deck. And then I thought at a couple times after Washington scored that the place was going to fall apart because it shook.
Yeah, no.
The stadium literally shook.
And they kept playing there. You know, you saw it, and then they kept playing and playing.
Yeah.
And I think soccer played there for a while. It's great, you know.
That was truly one. And then I sat in the same seats for the same season ticket holders in the new place, and I felt like I was watching the game from Delaware.
Yeah.
You know, and in the world's largest air bill, you know, in the history
and
of
now
that
we're going to get a new stadium because we have to have a new stadium every 10 years now. It's like, it's unbelievable. And that eventually will be written about as the fall of, you know, kind of like the fall of Rome. How many stadiums can you build on the head of a pin?
Right.
Seriously.
Well, maybe it'll be downtown, right? Or in the spot of RFK.
They keep yelling about putting it in Virginia. That'll be good. That'll be a nice place to put it. The Washington Redskins in Virginia. The Washington Commanders. I'm sorry.
So who is your favorite team, your favorite player growing up, Louis? Who got you into sports to begin with?
To begin with, it was, there was a few. There was Brooks Robinson, Sonny Jurgensen.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny Jurgensen was great when he started for the team because all of a sudden we were competitive.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden we'd lose 34-0. Now we were losing 34-21.
Yeah.
So for us, it was like, woo, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Taylor, Bobby Mitchell.
Those are the guys.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Johnny Unitas. I've got a football autograph by Johnny Unitas. I'm like nine. I'm talking to you as if a 9-year-old.
Sure, please.
I was at a, a charity event at Duke University, and I'm in line with Johnny Unitas, who really is probably the one that I really was the most into as a kid. The guy who, and he and we're standing in line and we're talking, and then he gets a bottle of wine to take to the table, and I go, I have a glass of wine, and he just slaps me on the arm. He goes, "You get a bottle. Do you want to come back here?" And I thought, this man is my idol.
It's something that he could teach you for the rest. It's a life lesson from Johnny Unitas.
From Johnny Unitas.
Man, I remember I met him one time. I shook his hand, and the one thing I will never forget is his index finger was the longest finger on his hand. I've never seen that. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's how the tight spirals come from.
Yeah, yep.
Honestly, when I shook his hand, it felt like his hand went up to my forearm.
Yeah, and that his hand, but also his hand was kind of gnarled because of course. The amount of broken, probably how many times his hands were broken.
I'm sure, right on top of somebody's helmet, following through and things like that. Lewis Black here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tragically, I Need You is streaming right now on YouTube. How'd you get your start? Where'd you get started?
Well, I started as a playwright.
Okay.
So now I say, this is interesting about saying the word playwright.
Sure.
Literally, thousands, maybe millions in your audience fall asleep when they hear that word. He started as what? Yes, I wrote plays. Now they're drifting. Mm-hmm. But that's what I did for 20 years.
And then when did you get into stand-up?
Well, I was doing stand-up on the side because it was a way in which you could write something and get it out there. Because if you wrote a play and you sent it off, it would take a year and a half for them to get back and go, no.
Right.
And I actually thought that the best way to actually get a play published was to put it in a bottle and throw it into the Hudson River and let it float away. And then someone would pick it up somewhere, and at least you knew that the schmuck would read it. Somebody somewhere would read it. You had a better chance of it being read. But I was doing stand-up on the side for fun.
Uh-huh.
And then it became what people really seemed to think was, they gravitated to it. And then all of a sudden, Catch a Rising Star in New York was asking me to work there. And that was the kind of it began that transition.
Who were in the clubs when you were starting?
The group that I was with, and now I'm like 40 when I start as a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Leary, Mario Cantone, Kevin Meaney, and Rosie O'Donnell was the host, and it was a lot of fun.
Catch a Rising Star. How'd you get hooked up with The Daily Show? How did that happen?
That was just dumb luck because of the Liz Winstead, who was the executive producer, and Hank Gallo was one of the producers, knew my work, and I was kind of a comic working in New York that everybody went, gee, how come things aren't going well? And how come you're still just here? I had all of this material, and I was yelling about a bunch of stuff, and they needed somebody to come in, and they needed material. Mm-hmm. And I came in, and I sat at a desk, there was no audience, and I would improv it, and I'd just yell about something, and they'd go, we like this, do it again, I'd do it again, and that was where it started.
Were you there when Kilborn was there?
Yeah, of course. I was there from the very beginning.
I was there. I did SportsCenters with him back in 96 before he took me. He said, let's go out to dinner, Spark. And so I went out to dinner with him, and he took me through the drive-thru of a Kenny Rogers Roland Roaster in Southington, Connecticut, and started explaining to me that there was this new show that he might leave SportsCenter for, and he described The Daily Show to me.
Yeah.
Of course, typical of Killer, he would say to me, he goes, do you think I should do it? I'm like, dude, I'm 26. I just got here from Redding, California, market, 200. I'm psyched to be here. Are you really going to leave? And that's what he did. And he left.
Only man to read a whole series of jokes and have no idea where the joke was. It was stunning to watch. I gave him a bottle of scotch when he left, and it took a year for him to say thank you. I mean, come on. And it was a great bottle of scotch. If you don't think that I was irritated about that. I mean, after Johnny Unitas had already told me to keep the bottle.
And then Jon Stewart comes in, and he's... I revere him. Yeah. In the same way you revere Johnny Unitas, I revere John Stewart.
I mean, the show became his show, and he really managed it to be what it became, and it was about, and it really was about, I mean, I ended up doing those shows whenever that he felt that the arc of the show needed me.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, he really did show by show by show, the show will be this, the show will be that, and then when they needed somebody at the end to be a big barking dog, they bring
Well, when did you find that style? Is that the way you are off the camera?
If I was like that, if I'm acting like the way I act on stage all the time, I'd be dead. I wouldn't even be here for this. You'd be going, you'd have two guys out there with pads going, ho, let's try to get him back. No, it became tough because I started to realize I was funny when I was frustrated and angry. People thought that was funny, which is, in the end, kind of sad that when you're really angry about something and people just laughing at you, you kind of, but it never struck me as really, something that I didn't want to pursue, but I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to yell directly at the audience, I would turn around and yell at the wall. And then I realized that I could yell at them, and I got comfortable with it. And then I realized they liked it. I mean, you go to a town and say, your town sucks. My town does suck. How did he know? But, it didn't take long. It was 5 minutes.
Well, is this where I should read where you're coming to next? That's Escondido, California. Your town sucks on the 6th of October.
Yeah, if we find it. I keep telling Escondido means hidden. How hidden can it be?
Well, the city with lights in this big sphere, Las Vegas, you'll be at the Mirage Theater on October 7th.
Yeah, that it sucks. Think about it. How much stuff can you shove into one area? They put that big sphere in. I mean, I performed at the T-Mobile Center.
Yeah.
They just can't. It just keeps. You can't put anything more in. They just shove something else in.
That's what Las Vegas means, I think, is just keep shoving stuff in. Reading, PA, Rochester, New York, Utica, New York, throughout the rest of October. LewisBlack.com to get more tour dates and tickets. So before I let you go, we decided, we should have you read some of the most famous athlete coaching rants in the history of sports television.
Yep.
As Lewis Black.
Great.
Can only do. And so we've written them down on the cards right there to your left. Here we go. Okay. Moving the mug. And we figured, let's just get this thing done. You do your full Lewis Black.
Yeah.
Right there. Okay.
And then
let's start first up. I believe you have the famous Mike Gundy. Did this just happen a 15-year anniversary?
Yeah, couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay. This is when he was very upset about media criticizing his players. Mike Gundy's famous "I'm a man, I'm 40" speech. Lewis Black had it.
And Oklahoma State. My father went to the University of Oklahoma.
Oh, fantastic. So this should be, you should really feel it.
The first Jew to cross the border.
How about it, sir?
Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today, huh? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me where our coaches don't write about a kid that does everything right, that's heart's broken, and then said that the coaches said he was scared. That ain't true, so get your facts straight. That's all I gotta say. Makes me wanna puke.
Lewis Black, well done. Outstanding rendition. Okay, the famed Dennis Green Monday Night Football loss to the Chicago Bears after the Bears come out. Back, the famed Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, speech. Lewis Black, how about it?
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
It was Black. That was perfect. And then now, finally, here we go. The famed Allen Iverson practice rant.
Yeah.
Doesn't need any more setup other than Louis Black.
Yeah, this, except that my setup would be that this was about me practicing piano.
So then perfect. You could channel that inner young child, Louis Black. How about it?
If I can't practice, I can't practice. If I'm hurt, I'm hurt. Simple as that. It's not about that at all. But it's easy to talk about and sum it up when you just talk about practice. We're sitting here, and I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice? I mean, listen, we're talking about practice, not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice, not a game, not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last, not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that? We're talking about practice.
Bravo, sir. Bravo. That is exactly awesome. What we thought we would get.
Thank you.
You are who we thought we were. You are.
Louis
Black, tragically, I need you at the Louis Black on Twitter and Instagram. It's streaming right now on YouTube. Come back anytime, sir.
I will. I'll come back and do that. What was the one where the guy went to the mound and went completely psychotic on the...
Which one?
I don't know if it was...
Was it Robin Ventura on Nolan Ryan? That you could do the noogies?
Was that or the one that...
Earl Weaver?
Earl Weaver.
Well, I don't... That will have to do After Dark.
Exactly. Well, that's
that,
all right.
By the way,
well,
is on
just
YouTube.
Do it and then
that was the umpire, Bill Holler, and that is one of my favorite YouTube videos ever.
It's phenomenal.
Because, you know, the backstory to that... is he was the umpire was mic'd for some local show or I think it was Inside Edition or something like that. The umpire was mic'd. No. And when you see the video of Earl, because trust me, I've seen this so many times.
Yeah.
See the video of Earl Weaver coming out. Just look at the scoreboard in the old Memorial Stadium behind him. Yeah. It's the top of the first.
I forgot.
It's the top of the first, and the games used to start at like 7:30 at the time. It was like 7:34 or 7:30. Like it's just 5 minutes in, top of the first. He's going ballistic over a balk call.
Yeah,
and just the back and forth between the two of them. And my favorite line is, and I can't, I'll clean it up, is when Earl Weaver keeps, because he goes back to the dugout and he's got another thing. He keeps coming back to the umpire. And he says to the umpire, you just wait until I'm in the 4 or 5 years and I'm in the Hall of Fame. And the umpire goes, what are you going to the Hall of Fame for? Earl, effing up World Series? Is that where you're going to the Hall of Fame?
Really good.
Oh, my gosh. So, yes, we'll do that the next time, but yeah, after
and
dark.
Then just beep it out.
No, my gosh.
Bleep, 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 bleep.
It'll
bleep,
sound
bleep,
like a truck backing up.
Yeah.
Louis Black right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take your phone calls and set you up for Gerald McCoy in Studio Hour 3. That was great.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
This is a little early. I don't do lunch martinis.
So you're pouring a martini now into the martini shaker.
I poured just a little in. It looked like there may have been
some ice in there.
But you won't complain. Don't send the drink back.
We just need to. The olives are already in the glasses.
Don't bruise it. Some people at home, what about stirring? There's a great bar called the Edmund over on Melrose. They like to stir. I like that. I like to shake a little bit.
So are you more like Bond, shake and not stirred, or you're...
I prefer actually bruising the vodka, make it ice cold.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
These are vermouth washed glasses. We have put a little vermouth in there earlier.
Okay.
And then...
pouring it out.
Why don't you take
that one.
This is my friend Rich Eisen. Are we toasting? I just want to toast you, seeing you again. You want to toast the ESPN, correct?
We are toasting to ESPN's 40th anniversary.
Oh.
There is a big event going on this weekend. my invitation is probably where yours is right now.
Yeah.
So we just figured, why not just do it ourselves?
What a nice thought.
You know what I mean? Like, I haven't seen you in a very long time.
My arm's getting sore.
I know. He goes, I like to toast. I haven't seen you in a long time, Craig, and I've been cultivating this caper to try and get you come on this show. And
What if I only do your show? I'd love to just do that because I like you're smooth and natural. That I compliment you. I like Rich.
There you go.
I like Rich.
Okay.
Let me just see what this is because the water, the ice was sitting there.
Cheers to you.
Nice to see you.
Cheers to you.
Nice to
you.
Finally meet you.
Cheers.
Watered down. Don't say anything. It's watered down. But let's pretend it's not. This is what I say at a bar or a restaurant, the Big Four up in San Francisco and Knob Hill. I take a sip. I go like this. I go, this is the greatest moment of my life.
Oh, man. All of Killer's appearances here. It's a good thing today wasn't one of them. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How great is Lewis Black, man?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Alan Dallas. Albert, what the hell? What the hell? Al? Huh.
Yeah, Richard. So there's to give a plug to one of your advertisers, there's a Granger right down Route 3 right outside of Nutley. I'm sure Del Tufo knows what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, Al.
They sell these things called street bumps. If you lined up 5 street bumps that you can get at Granger, www.granger.com.
Well done.
If you went there and put the 5 street bumps on the field, they would do a better job of blocking than this disgraceful Giants offensive line. And they combine that with this useless quarterback that we have. We are in big trouble. My football season, Brockman's football season, Adam's football season, and almost your football season is over. Completely over.
Fact.
Let's go Knicks.
Dude, get out of here. Let's go Knicks with the Celtics and the Bucks.
Let's go Red Storm.
Taking the largesse of the Trailblazers. And I don't know if the Eastern Conference is very competitive right now.
Let's go Rangers. I don't know. I mean, the Mets fired Buck. The Giants stink. The Jets stink. I mean, I was even jumping on the Jets bandwagon a little bit when Aaron Rodgers, he gets hurt at that disgraceful MetLife. That place is a dump. It should be blown up. The whole place is a disgrace.
Alan Dallas, bringing it. And also looping in Rich Eisen Show sponsors. That is great. There is no I in Al or Dallas. Well done, sir. Thanks for the call. You need a hug?
I need something. I need one of those martinis that Killer was shaking around. That's fine.
What is that? Down.
Thank you very much, Al. Hang in there.
Well done.
By the way, well done. Al. Well, bringing it. That's one of maybe Al's finest. That's a top fiver.
Easy.
Well, he out of one of our longest listeners and callers.
Lewis inspired them.
And he mentioned Route 3.
Nutley.
And Nutley.
Great word to start things off. Nutley, New Jersey's Granger. Get the 5 speed bumps. Will do better blocking for Daniel Jones. Ouch.
He texted me this morning. The football season is bleeping over already.
Well, I mean, again, the offensive line for the Giants last night, 11 sacks. 11. And on the first drive of the game, couldn't even push Daniel Jones properly. They missed him. Take a look at, by the way, do yourself a favor and look at the replay of the Giants trying to do the brotherly shove, as it's being called, because we do not go tush-push here on the program. And that'll be the last time I actually say those words into this microphone.
Will it?
Yes, it is. Yes. They watch the video. Jones gets the ball and starts pushing towards the line to gain. And the two linemen behind him don't push him. Initially, they don't use the initial momentum of Daniel Jones's movement. It's tough, man. Mike in New Hampshire. Mike. Did I say that right? How do I say it, Chris?
Hampshire.
Huh?
Just the man?
You said it good. You said it right.
Yes, it is, Mike. How are you, sir?
Very good. How are you?
I'm on the air with you, Huck. What more could I ask for? What's going on?
Oh, I don't know. This is great. I am finally back out of panic mode with our Jets.
Okay.
Zach Wilson showed enough the other night to pull us back in. They got us again, ready for more heartbreak. But to be honest with you, I had the Jets at 2-4, even with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. So I think we're sitting right where we were going to be anyway.
Well, look, as I started the show yesterday, Mike, the light flickered and then turned on for pretty much the entire game. I shouldn't say that. From about the second quarter all the way to his fumbled snap. Yep. What was the amount of significantly improved, inspiring play that we saw from Zach Wilson is unlike anything that we've seen to date. Where one drive against the Patriots, it was all we got. Or it was three quarters of mediocre, didn't turn it over type game managing play against Dallas. This was two significant touchdown passes, leaping for a two-point conversion, making throws, hitting windows, hitting back foot, playing with a heads-up mentality, throwing the ball, getting rid of it with speed. I'm with you. They should go to Denver and smoke them if they got them. Period.
That's what we need to do. We need to beat teams like this. And thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. Thanks. And then Philly comes in. They go 2-3. Philly comes in. You start rolling the dice here. It's like, whatever. Okay. Let's go. And even if you go 2-4, it's a bye, and then we'll see what happens after that. You still have 11 games. But at least they didn't get boat raced, and at least they got actual inspiring play from Zach Wilson. And then I guess, can Rodgers take the flight to Denver? Sit in the suite there? Put on his Gilligan hat and root on Nathaniel Hackett against Sean Payton. I'm looking for that. You bet I'm looking for that. Gilligan hat on Rodgers, like it's a 3-hour tour, baby. That's what I would be looking for. You know?
I don't know what's going to happen in that game.
I know. And this is where also Breece Hall blew out his knee and Elijah Vera Tucker blew out his pec. And this is when things changed for the Jets last year. Breece Hall ran one to the house, and it was like another Breece Hall moment, and then he blew out his knee. And that was the end of that, and the rest of the year never turned out the same way again. So they go back. Let's get Rodgers putting on a Gilligan hat, and let's go.
Denver's 2-point favorites. How do you feel about that?
I love it.
Should they be favored in the game?
I don't think so, based on what I've seen.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think so at all.
I mean, they just let Fields have a Fields day.
No, I get it. But good. Let that sink in the locker room, too.
It's probably a little home field, I guess.
Let them sink in.
These teams are probably pretty even, I guess, on paper.
Jets have a better defense. Jets have a better running game. Jets have wide receivers who don't put the ball on the ground.
Jets are healthier, I suppose.
I would say so. Well, outside of Rodgers.
But you can't really, you can't really count that.
The page is turned.
But he hasn't played for you at all, so it's not like you're losing him.
But I'm telling you, man, Zach Wilson, the way he played was inspiring. And if he shows up with the same attitude, same mentality, don't lose that intensity, and not just do it for himself, but do it for his OC that got punked by the HC on the other team, Rodgers. Gilligan hat in the booth. Do it.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams. If you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.